John 4. We're going to read a lot of scripture this morning, so if you have your Bibles here, it would be good that you follow with me. From verse 1, we'll be reading. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to the son of Joseph. To his son of Joseph, sorry. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by this well. It was about the sixth hour. It's roughly the middle of the day, 12 o'clock our time. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jesus hath no dealings with the Samaritans." So Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is it who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of the water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." That moment the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke well, truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I will speak to you, am he." At this point, the disciples returned from Kentucky. Okay, you still with me? They brought him food. Okay, now they brought him food. Okay, just checking. It's a long piece of scripture. The woman then left the water pot when I went away into the city and said to them, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "We've got this double cheeseburger for you. Please have some." "I have food," Jesus said, "to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this is a saying, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." And we read up to that place so far. I really want to talk to you this morning just upon a topic that I think we're at the beginning of this year. We've got so many goals. We're still excited. First month, we are very motivated still. And as a church, every year brings new opportunities, and especially about when we get to reaching out, evangelism, you know, that missing word in church many times. So many churches don't talk about it. We just swap, and the majority of our sheep a lot of times swap from one church to other church. That's the general picture of the church today, that people just change from church to church, and the church never focus on the lost out there. And I just want to remind ourselves again of what Jesus did. I felt it appropriate to look at the way Jesus reached out to this lady. Maybe you've heard a lot of sermons about this. Just bear with me this morning. Just to look at four principles that Jesus did in order to reach out that will help us this morning in order to reach out. We're going to be very specific this year as well. We want to reach out. We want to extend and include the ones that God's going to bring to us, that God is laying upon our hearts to reach out to. And I want us to look at some principles that the Master Soul Winner showed us how to do it. First of all, we see that Jesus, the first point I want to make is Jesus overcame physical conditions to reach the soul. The Bible says that he went through Samaria, but in actual fact, when you go and look at the original translation, you will see that that was not the preferred route for him to go to Jerusalem. He had to go through different places. He could have crossed the Jordan River, go northwest towards the direction of Jericho, and eventually to Jerusalem. If you look at the, and you understand the history, if you look at the geography and you understand the history, because the thing is, the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't sit around the same fire, purely because they worshipped differently. The Jews said Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. That's why we see that later on. And the Samaritans said, no, we've got it. And they built a temple way before that on a different mountain, Mount Gerizim, I believe it is. And this is where they worship, and also where they draw distinction between the last prophet. Almost, not exactly like the Muslims, but they recognize other prophets they didn't recognize. And in some other church history as well, is that in 722 before Christ, when the Israelites were taken captive and taken to the land of Assyria, the king sent in other people, and they started marrying, and then they were not the purebred anymore. So eventually you get the two groups. So they were living there at the time of Jesus, but the two didn't talk, or they didn't, like I said, didn't sit around the same fire. That's why Jesus used such a strong example when he talks about the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. In our days, it would be probably a thing of the Muslim. If Jesus had to tell the story, the Muslim, that he would use, he would stop by and give that person water, the one we probably wouldn't like or fancy, just to make a point. So, and Jesus, the first thing he does is he goes out of his way in order to meet this lady, because he knew this woman had a need. He could have chosen another way or other route, but he knew, when I cross through this way, I'm going to meet somebody. I want to say to you this morning that in this year, in order for us to meet people, we'll have to go out of our way many times. It's not just always going to be easy. It's not always going to be an osquit on a platter served in front of us and say, yeah, I want to give my life unto Christ. Yes, we get opportunities like that. But in most of the cases, we have to discover the go and gospel again and go out and do on purpose, build relationship and find out how am I going to reach that person for Christ. Study that. That's why the Bible talks about that we need to be like serpents. And I heard a sermon about that once, about the serpent that is, he will study his prey. He waits. He's patient. He's just sitting there. Well, I'm not going to try and look like the snake. Hmm? He's just watching that prey. The same with us. We need to study our prey. We need to know. We need to build relationship with that person. We need to be patient, but we need to go out of our way. They say harvesters need to be in the field. Fishermen need to be against the sea. Fishing from your bathtub, it's very convenient. It's not very effective. Eh? And we've tried it so many times. We hear the fishes. Yesterday it was at mile 14. And then it was at Palkis, or it was at Flotskas. Then you jump in the car and you go there and there's nothing. But you need to go where the fish is. Because just maybe I'll be lucky today. Just maybe I will have that opportunity today to be part of what God is doing. Constantly in that mode of, God, I'm here in service for you. I'm here to serve you. You know, there's a difference of, between us expecting people to come to us and us going when we discover that to go in the gospel again. See, Jesus, this roughly, and Jesus met with more than that, but what we know in the Bible that's been written in the Gospels, about 132 cases where they recorded when he met with people. In six of them, he met, in six of those cases, he met with them in the temple. Four of them in the synagogue, and the rest was everyday life. Just where life happens, out there, which give you and me, or maybe you even more. And that's the danger for my, for where I am. Sometimes you tend to, you ask yourself, and I'm asking myself the question, I'd lead to look at my friends. Your friendship later than just a lot of Christians. And you need to get to a place and take yourself out of that comfort zone. I know it's not always easy. You hear all the swearing, and you almost, when you're out of that environment, you go back into that environment of all the bad stuff. It's like it really touches you. Make sure that you're strong enough before you go to fetch. But Jesus went there because he knew that lady had a need. And likewise, this year, we'll have to go out of our way to groups and to people that we probably think, I don't know, you know. We must be ready for inconvenience. I can promise you it's going to come. Inconvenience is going to come. Jesus was that sitting at that well. He was weary. And at that moment, the lady came to him. We must be willing for that inconvenience to enter into our lives, to change our planning schedules, our favorite television program. Rugby is coming up. Let's talk to the Afrikaans people. They know. Sometimes, you know, myself included, if he tells me on a Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock when the Bulls and the Sharks or the Province are playing and I'm ready to watch the game and God wants something different, guess what? We'll have to be obedient to what he lays upon my heart. I can choose to do that, and it can be any other example, you know. You know, when we're so planned, I just want to do this quickly and then I feel good and then I feel in control. But it's often when he comes in and he changes his, he throws the toys out. He said, listen, I just want you to do that right now. Just worship me now. Or just go to that person, just invite him for a coffee, or just go and you've got this word, and you know you need to share that. Just do it now. Might be inconvenient, but it's necessary. Because I believe in the same when we pray on a Sunday and there's a specific altar call for something specifically. A lot of us miss that thing. We think, oh, I'll pray. I'm too shy. You know, I just can't raise my hand. But here's the point. The anointing is there for that at that moment. If we miss that opportunity, we want to get back home and say, Lord, I didn't want to acknowledge you there. Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Lord, I didn't want to raise my hand up at that moment, but here I am now, Lord. Can I just have a little bit of that? That was there on the Sunday. But the anointing lifts. I don't know when he will be there for that specific thing. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of transparency. It's a matter of just being honest with God. I'm talking about a different subject now. See, we need to be willing to be interrupted. Jesus sat there, and he was interrupted by this lady coming there. I promise you, when we are interrupted with our plans and our things, it's often inconvenient for us. But Jesus didn't see that as something bad. Oh, God, something to interrupt me again. I just don't have time for that now. I'm too busy right now. He saw that opportunity as an opportunity. That interruption became an opportunity for Jesus to reach out. You see, Jesus sat there, tired, 12 o'clock. And I had a similar experience. I'll just share with you now. I can identify for a moment. Sat there, 12 o'clock, it's hot. They didn't have air cons. They walked up to there, so they didn't drive with their car in an air con. Now just drinking a water, maybe in your car, in the air con. He sat there, he was tired, full of dust, and now he's just there, weary. At this moment, a woman enters, wants to draw water at that time of day. And Jesus, although he was weary, the word says, that shows us that he was human, experienced things like you and me experienced. He still wasn't too weary to testify. He still testified. Has that become an excuse in our lives? Many times I hear so often, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so busy. The only problem is when we become so busy, we need to rearrange our priorities and say, Lord, there's not such a word as too busy in God's vocabulary. It's just us, we get messed, our whole planning gets messed up. So we just have to cut certain things, sometimes good things. Say, Lord, just the things that you want me on my plate right now. Because God, I think that word God can't understand, too busy. God, I can't. I'm too busy to do that right now. As long as if we're going to become too busy to do the God's will, then we've missed the whole point. Somewhere on my plate, there must be things that I dished up. It's maybe not God's will for me. Just shove that aside like the kids does. I don't like the broccoli. I don't want it. I just want pasta. I don't know why the kids are like that. I see so many kids. I just want the pasta. No sauce, nothing, just pasta. Maybe we should do that. God, my plate. I think it's time that I put my plate in front of you and ask you. Because, Lord, in this year, I want to reach up and reach out. I don't want to feel interrupted. Every time it comes to me as an interruption, I will see that as an opportunity. I will seize that opportunity and say, Lord, here I am to your service. You know, I had that experience about three weeks ago. We're traveling down to the south of Namibia just to market our Bible school and meet a few churches there. And my Bucky's aircon was gone, so I had to fix it at the end. But I think it was a good experience for me now, in hindsight, you know. So we did all these small places that you would never dream of. We went to Kalkrand, and you know, if you've driven through there, it's like the blink of an eye and you've gone through that place. And anyway, so I saw a part of the town there that I never saw before that extended in to the side. Nevertheless, so we carried on until we got to Marintal, and it's quite hot when you come from here, 40 degrees, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we leave from there. And then we get to a small place, Chess, about 80 kilometers before Kitmanswip. And as we drove in some of those stories, you're just too shy to tell it to people that you can ask God a question like that. I said, Lord, and I'm just tired, you know, I'm sweaty. I said, Lord, would you come into a place like this? Just praying this prayer. And the moment I uttered that, the Lord convicted me and he answered me. He said, Yaku, I crossed the lake for one man. That man that had the demons in him, you can go and read it for yourself. Jesus was tired. He was serving all the time. And then he crossed the lake just to deliver one man from that demon. That's why you and me are standing here this morning. Not because of the thousands, because he was obedient just to reach out for one man. You don't know this morning the impact of just being obedient to God and reach out to that one person. I say, God, I'll just be obedient. Maybe I'm not reaching the thousands. But if you didn't call me to the thousands, that's fine. I'm not going to be on TBN or Christian television. That's fine, God. I'll just be obedient. Because if I need to reach out to that one, I'll do that. And then, Lord, maybe you give me something new on the plate. Jesus broke down barriers to win a soul. You need to understand that this woman was a Samaritan. First of all, as I explained, there was a racial barrier. We don't talk with them. They're from the other side of the fence. Let's just keep this separation. It's the best for us. But Jesus didn't. He broke a racial barrier and he broke the social barrier. The fact that she was a woman and also an immoral person. And I say to you this morning that if Jesus had to invite people for the Sunday dinner after church, I probably would not be one of them sitting at the table, or you. You would probably go out in the streets, invite those prostitutes, the ones that are probably lost completely, in need of a Savior. It tells us to build relationship with those people purposefully. So God, I've got something. I'm a carrier of living water. I found that living water. And I'm going to build that relationship. Because somewhere along the line, God's going to give me that opportunity to pass that on. I remember in England when we were there, and this is why I think everything is a breeze here, in the sense that reaching out to people. I spoke to a girl about 3 weeks ago. She's ministering in Germany. She shared the same experience. Whenever you reach out to somebody there, we can't just start on a level and talk about God. First of all, I need to convince you that there is a God, that He created you, and then we start a whole thing. And then you still question me, why am I sharing this with you? What's your agenda? So this whole process of getting somebody, just to start with Genesis 1, maybe you need 2 years before that, just to build a relationship, just to show you that you can trust me, that I'm a real friend. I promise you, that challenges your Christianity and your motives for long. And you get to a place where you realize you're nothing without God. You're not God's gift to the... You realize, actually, Lord, without your anointing, without you, you reach such a place in your life when you're so empty and you realize, God, my contribution, yes, you call us to that, but at the end of the day, it needs to go back to intimacy with you. If I'm not intimate, I cannot share out or share with them. And you trust the Holy Spirit like never before to impregnate that person. Are you erecting barriers this morning that keep you from witnessing? Racial, social, whatever it might be, or you're afraid that if you reach out to that person, you might come to church and then tomorrow we might be in the same church. I don't know what God would do. Or do you consider yourself more important? I don't know. But many times we have these barriers around us. No, Lord, I will reach out to her. Just don't ask me to reach out to him. I don't know. They say the most common reasons people do not reach out is things like we're saying for ourselves, to ourselves, I don't know enough. Okay, we've got Bible school. That can help you. But that shouldn't be an excuse. Well, I'm not an evangelist. I don't want to appear too pushy. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to lose him or her. J. John once shared this example. He said, if we're not sensitive or we haven't got discernment to reach out to people, either one of two things happen. If we pick them, it's like a fruit. If you pick the fruit too early, it's like this tomatoes you get many times, the green ones that they hope will get red eventually. But they don't taste the same as the red ones that's been on the plant longer. You lose some of that. That's just the way it is. If we force somebody, you will try and force him into Christianity and never made the decision, a godly decision. So you'll not reap the full fruit. Eventually along the way, you'll probably lose him. And if we wait too long because we're too lazy or we just are not obedient, the Jehovah Witnesses will pick them on a Saturday morning with the watchtower. They are very diligent. And I'm not here to knock them, but there's some things that's just totally wrong there. But they've got one thing right there. They are eager. And we can give them credit for that. But if we wait too long, the fruit drops like with any other tree on the ground. We lose that opportunity. In other words, and many times in life we get to those places where we lose those opportunities. I've had moments like that when I just have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I missed it there. I missed that opportunity. Forgive me. I didn't say that. Give me another opportunity. It's an humbling experience when you actually just have to admit, Lord, I was disobedient. You asked me to, and I felt it's better not to. But I'm sorry, Lord. And then by God's grace, we get those opportunities again. My walk with God isn't what it should be. It's another excuse. I'll wait till I grow. But I tell you, our testimony is worth more. 79% of people coming to church came because of a friend that invited them. Only 6% because of the pastor. Oh, and I don't like the statistics, but church growth doesn't happen through what we preach here on a Sunday. For us, just going out there in the world, inviting people to an encounter with God. You don't know the impact that you can make by your everyday life. People watching you. I had so many testimonies through our congregation. And then I asked people, how did you come to us? Or how did it happen? And I just watched his life. I saw he was real. There's people sitting here this morning. You don't even know it. But I know about it. The people share with me. And I looked at his life and I knew there's a difference in his life. He's not just one of those typical churchgoers. There's something different in this man's life. And I thought, I want a taste of that. I want to be part of that church. Not to elevate ourselves. You know, everybody needs a salvation. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. It's a glory of God. It's not for me and you to determine. I'll reach out to that one. I may be effective, or that one is unreached. That's for God to decide. He decides which tool to use where. And if he comes to me and I act like Gideon, then we need to talk. And God probably say to me, what's that? What's happening there? God, I am not, I'm the smallest. Why did you pick me? God, I stutter. Moses. No, you're the one. It's often in those cases when we feel that I'm not the one that God wants to use exactly to overcome that. Because this is the Satan or your own, the way you've been brought up that tell you you can't. And that's actually, you know, humility is not thinking of yourself more than it. It's just agreeing with God. When God says, you are the one, then what God wants you to say is, yes, Lord. And if you say, yes, Lord, nobody else can look at you, point at you, a finger at you and say, you know, he thinks of himself more than he ought to. Because God says, you are able. Humility is to agree with God about what he says about you. And many times we think about ourselves less. And if we agree on the more, then we're actually just acting humble. You know, Jesus saw the need of the woman and he treated her as important. She wasn't, you're just bugging me and arguing. You see, he saw the need. He saw the importance of that. And I can say to you this morning, you don't know how you can be the special agent of God this morning, the James Bond, to that one person, to touch that one person. They tell the story about D.L. Moody, well-known evangelist. They estimate that about 1 million people came to salvation because of his ministry. But what you and me do not know this morning is that man was touched on a Sunday morning back in the Sunday school by a man called Edward Kimball, his Sunday school teacher that led him to the Lord. We don't read about Edward Kimball on the news. He didn't reach the headlines, but he was obedient to reach out to one man. You don't know the impact of that one person you might reach out to. And one day before God, you'll stand in heaven and we all stand there and God says, we need to present those people to him. And you might not know, but there might be so many more thousands lining up because of your obedience to that one person. Because we reap together. As we sow, we can enjoy the fruit together. Jesus made the message simple to win a soul. Third point. He comes to her, he says to her, give me a drink. You know, everybody understands being thirsty. And then they have this conversation about water. Living water for a spiritual thirst. You see, it's not our task to make things more complicated. I don't know why we expect, you know, and us, myself, I'm talking to, you often find it that from the pulpit, we try and make everything so complicated. So by the end of the day, our people, majority, that's the general pitfall for all preachers. By the end of the day, 70% of the stuff you've preached, people do not know. You talk about them, over them. I don't know, the language we use, all of those kind of things. We constantly have to check ourselves for that. Somebody once said, if the child cannot understand it, then you've missed it. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, For I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. My friends, it's that easy. God called us to live according to John 3:16. See, you know what? God loves you. The message is that simple. I'm not going to try and make it more complicated. My testimony. They say an ounce of testimony is worth more than a pound of argument. And we're not called to argue with people about certain things. Share your testimony. Share this, what God has done. This is what Ivan just did this morning. Nobody can refute that. Nobody can argue against that. Because you saw that, you experienced that, and it's living. And the last point, Jesus brushed aside religious arguments. This lady comes to him and she says to him, our father worshipped in this mountain. Doesn't it sound familiar? We hear this often. I hear this almost weekly. My grandparents used to go to this church. My parents brought me up in this church. I cannot change from church. We hear this often. Jesus, just ignore that. I'm not interested in which mountain you're going to. You worship on this mountain, you're going to that church. Have you got a relationship with me? Are you thirsty? We need to see through those things. So God, open our eyes. I don't want to be involved in those arguments. Is this church, we baptized, and I was baptized when I was a baby, and why? No, no, no. Let's get to the heart. Let's get to the point. Let's get to the heart issue. You know, it's often at these times when we need the insight of the Holy Spirit to pray, God, give me an open door at that moment to that person. See, I shared that example, how I couldn't reach out to that person. I asked the Lord, give me an open door. And the Lord revealed through the gift of the word of knowledge something to that person's life. And he shared that with that person, said, the Lord is showing me this and this. And he went like this. How's that possible? Because we've got him inside of us. We've got the living water inside of us. Believe you me, if that person is thirsty and I've got the living water and I'm willing and I'm asking him, guess what? God's going to use you to bring forth that living water, to be that agent of living water in this year. You see, the lady, she ran back into the city. And then she said, come see a man. Think for yourself for a moment. I can imagine the people looking at her. Yeah, come see a man. You just had 5. You got another one? This time it was a different experience. She had an honest moment with God. A few verses back, you'll read that Jesus told her, or asked her, go and fetch your man or your husband. She said, Lord, I don't have one. And then Jesus said, yes, you're right. You had 5 and the one you're living with is not yours. And that's the same with us in our relationship with God. Before we can depart from here to anything meaningful, God wants an honest moment just with us. So you know what? I just want you to be honest about it. I see that. I want you to see that and to acknowledge that and say, that's what happened with that lady. The moment she had that honest moment with God, that moment of insight, and she was honest towards Jesus, that's when salvation took place. Repentance took place at that moment when she could see. The same when we reach out, pray for that. So God, give us that moment of honesty with that person to open his heart to that place of honesty and just say, I need him. They came back, 2 groups came back. It was 2 groups that came to believe in Christ as a result of that. The ones that came to salvation because of her testimony, you can go and read that. Many came, the word says many came as a result of her word, not of Jesus' word. Not what Jesus preached, because of her testimony. And there was a second group, I call them the Thomas group. They said, oh, well, we want to see first. And they got saved eventually as well, because of Jesus' word. you feel like you don't have enough this morning. You have a destiny. You can share that. If you're 1 minute in the kingdom of God, you can reach out. You can give out. That's the way our God has brought us together. Start with your destiny. And you start equipping yourself and building yourself. In this year, as we purposefully going into this year, let it be a year where we are carriers of living water. Let's close our eyes. Maybe you feel like that this morning. You feel like you've lost your passion. You feel like you've lost that fire. And I just don't have what I had when I just came to the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning. Just start testifying again. Just reach out to a person again when you leave here in this week to come. Reach out to that person. Just share them. Share about God's love, about what He did for you. I promise you, there's nothing more rewarding, and there's nothing more that can ignite you at that moment when we do things like that. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and Lord, many times we want to be carriers of living water, but somewhere the water gets lost. This morning, Father, I pray that you will just repair, restore, and fill us with fresh water again. Your Holy Spirit inside of us this morning. Father, it's my prayer this year as we reach out, as we build purposefully relationship with people around us, Lord, and as we enter into the world out there, Lord, our workplace, Lord, our friendship circles, Lord, every place which our food tread upon, Lord, you've given us those areas to populate them with your will and your kingdom, Lord. My prayer is, Lord, that your kingdom will come in those places. Lord, let us be carriers of living water, Lord. That we will understand our purpose, Lord. It's not here to come here on a Sunday and just feel good and hoo-ha, but to equip ourselves and to carry that out there, Lord, into a thirsty world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Please remember, join us next week for the Bring and Bri. Especially our new people, that's an opportunity for you to get to know. I know it's a lot of new faces. I want to invite you. Take that opportunity. We always have a blessed time there. Have a good Sunday. Thank you. Yeah.